Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, indeed. Semper Fi, good Saturday afternoon. Welcome into the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, along with Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. One of my all-time favorite human beings on the planet. I'm Christian Garrick, David Potter, back at Master Control, taking your phone calls on our Mortgage Financial Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. It's LSU and Vanderbilt today, week two of the SEC season in Nashville for the Tigers, looking to rebound from, Herb, let's just call it like we see it, an awful opening week.
Yeah, look, K-Dog, good to hear from you. Man, I'm still kind of shocked, surprised. But at the end of the day, you know, with as many departures that we had last year off the 2019 championship team, and, you know, you don't want to see them giving up 600 yards passing, five or six touchdowns. That's not a good look. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all new. The defense, how Bo Pelini was going to come out and try to play that air raid defense, which you and I both were pretty much raving over, with the type of work that Mike Leach has done in the past and what he could potentially do. So we kind of saw that, you know, we saw the potential of that happening. And look, you got to give kudos, you know, and credit to Mississippi State. They came out, they didn't back down. They didn't have any worries about anything. The back wasn't against the wall. They didn't care. They could let it all hang out. And they did exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to come and throw the ball over the yard and complete passes and score points. And they did that. And then they also, you know, they turned the ball over, but they also caused turnovers, which is one of the things that I definitely need. I got to try to make sure that we can eliminate the interceptions. Now, the last interception by Brendan was at the end of the game trying to make a play or whatnot. But, you know, you just got to eliminate those mistakes. You look at that same game last year, I think the score was 36-13. Joe Burrow went 25-32 for 327. But the key stat is it was zero interceptions. And the running game was about the same. We only ran for 105 yards or so last year. But the difference maker also was we did not give up 600 yards. We only gave up 238 yards last year. So we got to find a way to get back to playing real stout defense, causing turnovers, making plays, and not allowing 600 passing yard record, you know, record breaking quarterbacks passing plays, if you will, in a particular game. We got to stop that.
Herb, you played the position Miles Brennan's playing now, quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, headed into that game, do not try and expect him to do Joe Burrow things this year.
Right.
He's not Joe Burrow, and he'll tell you he doesn't need to be Joe Burrow.
Nope.
But a lot of the blame, I think, unnecessarily went at the feet of Miles Brennan. He had a pretty good day. He gave up, I mean, there were seven sacks. The offensive line gave up seven sacks. He doesn't play defense and give up over 600 yards passing. You get my point here? You feel like he's unfairly blamed for that one?
Well, I mean, you know, your head coach and your quarterback gets the most praise, unjust, right? And then the most blame, unjust, if you
sure.
will. So, you know, at the end of the day, let's say it like this. There were some times, people were looking at Miles to make a play in certain areas and aspects of the game in certain times. And whatever their reasoning for trying to blame it on Miles is, I can only assume that's what it is. But if you go back and you look at the stat line, 27-46, 345, total yards passing and three touchdowns is pretty good. The only blemish you got, the two interceptions. If we can get away from the two interceptions, we'll be fine. But, you know, you would think you put up 345 yards, three touchdowns, and you give yourself 34 points, you should win the game, right? And that's technically what we're used to at LSU. So it's not Miles Brennan's fault that this game was lost. You know, could he have scored another touchdown or maybe potentially have two more touchdown drives if he doesn't have those interceptions? Maybe so. But at the end of the day, he put up enough points in order for us to win. There's no reason. You cannot place any blame of a Miles Brennan because the defense gave up 600 yards passing and 44 points. Miles is not the reason for that. You know, so at the end of the day, we got to stop some guys. We can't. You know, KJ Costello threw the ball 60 times in that game. That's crazy. That's an enormous amount of time. And he threw the ball pretty much just, you know, probably the number of times that I probably threw the ball in three games, you know. But that's just nuts and crazy. But at the end of the day, you got to find a way to stop them and get off the field and put your offense there. Give them an opportunity to go down and score points some kind of way, whether it be a touchdown or a field goal.
All right, that's enough of week one. It was that bad. We've covered it enough. We said our piece. We'll move on to Vanderbilt Commodores in Nashville, today's opponent for the LSU Tigers. And what I love, Herb, this week was this is what leaders do. This is what good coaches do. And they take the heat. You know, Coach O said, hey, look, we got to coach better. It starts with me. That's what leaders do. And I think that's vitally important for a young team that's still trying to find their way. You agree?
I mean, look, you know, the one thing that I've always raved about with Coach O is the fact that how he coaches and what he does. And he's always going to put himself forefront. He's never going to put a kid down. He's never going to say anything negative about a kid. And that's what he's supposed to do. That's what you do. You take the ownership. You take the blame. You take the praise. You take all of the stuff or whatever. But, you know, it's football. It's week by week. That week, you know, last week is over with. So you got to, you know, you – watch the video. You learn from it. You adjust and make the according corrections that's needed so that you can move forward away from that. But you also got to get those guys ready to play this week against Vanderbilt because, look, the schedule has changed now. It's 10 games, SEC games, no matter what. So there is no cupcakes. There's no bye weeks, you know, even if you're playing against a smaller team. So right now you have to refocus and regain your strength week in and week out. So right now is the perfect time to come up to make some adjustments on defense and to try to get some more points on the board. So I look forward to a good game today.
Week two for LSU. It is here. We are just getting started. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show with Herb Tyler. I'm Christian Garrick. This is WWL. Back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show along with Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. I'm Christian Garrick. We are socially distancing. Wish we were certainly in the same place to talk about this game, but nonetheless, considering the pandemic, can't happen. Look, do you think LSU rebounds this week against Vanderbilt? 504-260-1870. Call us on our mortgage financial phone lines or text us as well at 504-260-1870. Do you think they'll get those issues that plagued them last week corrected? The defense, 504-260-1870, and offensive line as well. Herb, do you chalk this up? I guess what I'm trying to say is this slow start, is it youth? Is that a big part of it?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's pretty obvious, you know. I mean, you can tell. You look at the – I mean, you got to think about it. Okay, we always talk about the great programs, what do they end up doing. They may have, five, six, seven guys that may leave at one time, but they still have a decent amount of guys that's actually played and started the previous season. But this was pretty much unheard of. I mean, literally was, 17, 18 guys that were starters last year that they're no longer there. So it's a combination of youth. It's a combination of newness, if you will. Like I said, you know, Joe Brady's not there. So you got a new helpful hand off the coordinating offense. And then you got a brand new defensive coordinator in Bo Pelini, who hadn't actually coached defense, if you will, hadn't been a coordinator in quite some time because he was a head coach for 10 years or so. And then you couple that with the youth effectiveness of the guys that are playing now. You know, those guys are trying really hard. They're trying to understand it all, and they got to do it on the fly. And it's been, you know, no spring football, no, you know, very limited, let's say that, fall football, if you will, as far as training camp and things of that nature. So everything about this season is completely different than what it has been. So, you know, you have to account for that as well with the COVID-19 protocols and things that they've got in place. So, you know, at this point in time, in my opinion, what I think it is, I think it's a combination of all those things that I just said. So it's going to be something I think that we can get over. But you know what's abnormal too, which is different, is Mike Leach was not in the SEC last year either. So, you know, so that air raid offense wasn't there last year, you know, and we haven't seen anything similar to that as well. So, you know, so you put all those different things together, and I think the end result that we got last weekend is what you get. So
last week for Vanderbilt, they gave Texas A&M all they could handle, albeit Texas A&M coughed at the football or turned over the football three times, and it kept the score closer than it probably would have been. How game of a Vanderbilt team do you think LSU is going to see today?
I think we see the same thing. I mean, they watched Mississippi State come out and do what they did last week. I'm sorry. I mean, they're not going to run this air raid offense that Mississippi State ran, but they're going to try to put the balls in the air, and they're going to try to get these guys to see if they can cover their receivers. They're going to challenge the youthness of our guys defensively. They're going to challenge our offensive line. They're going to throw some blitzes in there that they can hope to get to Miles Brennan and disrupt his passing. Not only his, you know, the pocket, but also his sight of trying to get the ball out to whoever he needs to get the ball to, and it's going to be tough, man. I mean, when you play these kind of, you remember the beginning of the game last year. I mean, the first quarter, our first half, I think Vanderbilt played us really well,
yeah.
And then we kind of exploded on them. So these guys aren't afraid of us, you know, they're not afraid of anybody. It's just a matter of can you execute? Can you go out and impose your will? Can you dominate in the way that you're built to do? And it's going to remain to be seen. But it's not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the means. Coach O and the guys are going to have to coach. They're going to have to make sure these guys are in good positions to be successful. And they're going to have to keep their head up after last week. I think they're on their way to doing that. But we have to see it.
Herb, I think the game plan might be for LSU on offense in particular to get Miles Brennan going, give him a running game, and get those three talented running backs going. Lean on the run a little bit more. Coach O's even said he feels like that's the strength of his team. Well, let's go show it if that's what you feel.
Well, I mean, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where the running game kind of controls everything else, right? It kind of opens up your passing game, and it, you know, it allows you to do different things if you can keep the defense off balance with a run and a passing attack. So, You know, it, all of that sounds good in theory, but at the end of the day, it's not going to happen if you're not opening holes up for the guys. So the offensive line has to step up, and they have to push some guys around. They have to allow these guys an opportunity to get started and get rolling so that they can, you know, attack the second level and third levels of defense, which is the linebackers and safeties and corners or whatnot. They can't get hit in the backfield or have to dodge two or three guys before they even get to the line of scrimmage in order to be successful. So I think, you know, at this moment where I am with it, I think we definitely need to garner some sort of a run game. But at the end of the day, you know, you and I talked about it, touched on it earlier. Miles did not do a horrible job last week. I mean, he actually did pretty good. We need to continue to build his confidence. We need to lean on those three horses we have in the backfield, but we also need Miles to continue to be confident and to every week get better and better. And I think this will be another good week for him to get better as a starting quarterback for LSU.
The secondary that was sliced and diced last week does get their big playmaker, Derek Stingley Jr., back. Glad to see him return to health. Yeah. We were concerned about him last week, Herb, but he's going to be back in the mix, and he'll go a long way in being able to pretty much shut down one side of the field.
I mean, you hope that he comes back in the same strength that he had prior to going out last week. So I just, you know, want to continue to pray for him and his health and his family, hoping that, you know, that everything is all fine now and 100%. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know what's going on. But if he can be the Derek Stingley that we know he can be, we should understand that one side of the field would be shut down as far as whoever he's covering. So, and then that means that the other guys on the other side will have an opportunity to get better this week. And now they're not going to be playing, a fourth year, fifth year transfer quarterback from Stanford, who's probably one of the smarter guys out there on the field and actually can physically do, you know, all the different things. But at the end of the day, you're going to be playing someone that's going to be just, you know, almost as good as, shall I say. And they're going to, you know, you have to find ways to disrupt him, to get him off balance. Whoever the quarterback's going to be, doesn't matter what system you're playing. You got to get good push up front, which I thought we did pretty good last week. We got, you know, we sacked the quarterback a decent amount of times and we pressured him a decent amount of times. We have to continue that. And we got to make the plays on the back end. You got to strip the ball. You got to have knockdowns. You got to be entangled with the receiver, not in a foul type of way, but you have to be covering him like, you know, white on rice, if you will, so that, you know, it make it that much tougher for the receiver to catch the ball, control it, and possess the ball. So we've got to really, really work on that. And I do think that, one of the things that people were saying was that we stayed in the man-to-man defense, cover one, if you will, defense, too much. And I want to disagree with that, but I also understand that you have to mix it up and play some zone or some man zone or something like that, however you want to, whatever combination of you want to do it. But I think at the end of the day, I think Coach Pelini was just trying to see what his guys had. How, you know, who could actually, turn the corner and try to take what was happening, and can I make myself better in this position? But, you know, at some point you got to help him out with some certain calls. So I hope to see a little bit of change up in different defenses in this particular game against Vanderbilt. Some man zone. Man under zone, behind. I mean, it depends on whatever the situation is, but I hope to see a little bit of a switch up.
Herb, I agree with you that, you know, I would like to see them have switched it up, mixed it up a little bit, but also your identity is your identity. If you're a man team, you know, typically you don't play zone very well. And typically if you're a zone team, zone defense, you don't play man very well. It's just a fact of the matter.
It's just a fact, and then at the end of the day, you don't know what you have unless you try it. You know what I'm saying? You got to, because you're going to be going to war with these guys every week. So you got to know if somebody gets, because look, in a man defense, what happens is you're going to get beat no matter what. Now, do you get beat for touchdowns, or do you get beat for a first down here and there, or possession play, or whatever? That's different. And then can you regain your confidence after you've been beaten? And that's one of the things that I thought Derek Stingley did very well last year. If you notice, he gotten beaten a couple, three or four times last year on deep balls where he actually lost that particular play and he was scored on. But he come back the next series and he'd either catch an intercept or make a big play, knocking the ball down or something, you know, preventing a first down or something. And that's what I think the coaches are trying to find in these young guys that they have out there on defense now. They're trying to find out if they have the mentality to be able to forget the last play and move on and be successful.
I don't know. I can't remember if it was prime time, but one big-time defensive back said, hey, you got to have amnesia to play cornerback. Because it's one snap and clear. I mean, you're gonna give up a play. There hasn't been a defensive back in the history of this sport that has completely shut down every receiver he's ever faced. It's not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen because the other guys on the other side are just as good as you are, and they're gonna make plays, and that's why they're out there.
He's Herb Tyler. I'm Christian Garrick. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Earlier in the week, I caught up with Chris Lee, VandySports.com, to get a look at the Commodores, LSU's Week 2 matchup today at 6:30 right here on the home of the Tigers, WWL. Here is that interview. Going behind enemy lines for the LSU Tigers, taking on Vanderbilt this weekend. Chris Lee joining us now, publisher, podcast, host at VandySports.com. Chris, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Hope you guys are well.
We are. Thanks for the time. And Chris, Vanderbilt, what happened in College Station? They gave Texas A&M a pretty good run.
Well, we thought if they had a chance to surprise, it would be defense because they brought 11 starters back. They had some experience behind those kids, and they got better, they thought, on the defensive line, and it's exactly what they hoped for. They got great play out of their ends, Dio Odingbo and Andre Mintz. They got really good play out of Davion Davis and Rashawn Wilkins in the middle of the line. There weren't a lot of busted assignments on the back end, and they got three turnovers, and that was the recipe they had to have if they were going to be close, and they were. Now, unfortunately, their offense is not very good, and they couldn't scratch out enough plays to get an upset, but it was what had to happen for them to have a chance to a T, but it was what we thought the offense would be is the reason why they couldn't close.
They got a freshman, true freshman at quarterback, right?
Yeah, and a very good one at that.
Yeah, how did he play?
You know, he was better than I thought his line indicated. He was 20 of 29 for, a buck 50, a buck 65, somewhere in there. But his two interceptions were balls that I think one was a miscommunication with the receiver, and another one, I don't know if he thought maybe an official was one of his receivers or what the deal was, but he threw it nowhere near guys. And if you looked at the other 27 throws, they were all throws where they were right on the money or he threw the ball away. I mean, you remember Danny Werfel from back in the day and how he didn't have the best arm, but he got rid of it quickly and he knew where it was going and he could process things quickly. I see that kind of skill set in him where he doesn't have the strongest arm, but it's good enough. I think he's going to be a really good player for them if they can just keep him healthy.
Chris, the big question is, were you there last year when Joe Burrow had the full moon shot?
I was there. The points kept adding up quicker than I think I could keep up with them. I was writing a national game story on that one, and that almost got to be a problem at one point because it seemed like I was writing up one touchdown when LSU was scoring another one, but that was quite a display of offense.
Chris, also, with Vanderbilt, you know, one of the things that they're always at least competitive, and last year I think they weren't as competitive as they typically were. Do you feel like they've gotten some of that back? Well, they're not. I mean, let's be honest. They're not going to threaten the SEC to win the conference, to win a national championship, at least not anytime soon. But are they back to being competitive?
Maybe. I mean, it looked that way, right? But we don't know how good Texas A&M is. And also, I was just thinking 3 years ago, I think after 3 weeks, they led the country in scoring defense. And Alabama came in and just ripped them. And they wound up being dead last in the SEC in scoring defense. Not just that, but they gave up an all-time record for points allowed. So I've seen this movie at times where it turns out okay, but I've also seen times where they get punched in the mouth and it turns out horribly. I don't know. You know, the thing is, Vanderbilt has usually been competitive on one side of the ball, even with bad teams. I go back to the 90s and the Woody Woodenhofer teams where they had great defenses, but they went, I think, at one point, six straight quarters without moving the ball across the 50. And the bottom line is you got to have players in this league. And they always seem to have enough most years to field a competitive squad on one side of the ball, but rarely both. I think that's what made James Franklin so special, is finishing in the top 25 in back-to-back years. You know, you've got to have kids on both sides of the ball, and he did. And I think that's where they struggle. Yeah, I think it's possible because we've seen it before, but they just never have enough bodies to do it both ways.
They can do it in baseball, that's for sure.
Well, yes, and let me tell you, that guy is a better coach than anybody knows because it is so hard to build a competitive program at that school because of the administrative nonsense and all those things. And I know people talk about the scholarship advantage and everything, but if you flip that around the other way, the kids on that field, I bet you are paying more because it's $75,000 a year. As he's told me, there are years that we've had kids on the championship team 2 years ago that were paying $35,000 and $40,000 a year to go to school. So he is a phenomenal coach, and it's been a miracle what he has done.
He's one of the best in the country, that's for sure. Chris
Lee.
Yeah,
I think he is the best in the country because I know what he's up against.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com, going behind enemy lines. LSU taking on the Vanderbilt Commodores, 6:30 Saturday up there in Vandy. And give me a recipe for a Vanderbilt team to upset LSU. What would have to happen?
Repeat of last week. Keep it close. be a crooked number in turnover margin. And I think you've got to go one step beyond. You've got to convert short fields. You've got to take chances. I think they punted from the 44 and the 41 on the other side of the field in what were makeable fourth down situations. So they've got to do what they did last week and then maybe take some chances that they did not.
So Vanderbilt's debuting a retro logo of the Nashville skyline against LSU. That's pretty neat on their helmet.
Well, the skyline isn't the retro part. It's the script Vandy, if you remember from the 80s.
Yeah.
That's some really sharp script helmets. In fact, they look just like the logo on our website almost. They're wearing those, except it's a modified version. Frankly, I like the one from the 80s better. This is kind of an outline of the Vandy script, and the skyline is a little bit overwhelming. Some people like it. I'm not crazy about it. I wish they would just have gone with what they went with in the 80s, because I think that was a sharp look. But there'll be a little bit of a flashback for the listeners out there that remember those days.
I like it. I don't know. Looks pretty neat to me online. Chris, what
yeah.
I'm different. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to, it's different. I think a lot of fans do like the flashback, but the cluttering, I think, was a little bit of a point of contention with some of the fans.
Do you expect this game on Saturday to be competitive closer than it was certainly last year?
I think it'll be closer than last year. I don't know that they can do this back-to-back. I mean, Stingley comes back. That shuts down one side of the field. And frankly, of course, they're not going to move the ball the way State did. I don't know. The one thing I thought was you don't want a ticked-off LSU coming to Nashville. I think they'll get that now. Not to mention one up on the defensive side. I would be surprised if they could do this in back-to-back weeks, but you never know.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com, earlier in the week, behind enemy lines. Welcome back to the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, and Herb, Chris said it best, I think. Vanderbilt, where they're going to, if they're going to give LSU some real issues, it's going to be their defensive side of the football. They got all 11 back from a year ago.
Yeah, and like you said as well, too, Vanderbilt's offense is not going to move the ball like Mississippi State will. So, and then the biggest thing I think that he said, which in my opinion was, there's a freshman starting quarterback that they have in Seals and a ticked off LSU team coming in, going into Nashville. So that's not going to be good. I think you got some kids that are going to be just ready to blow off some steam, and you got some coaches that's going to be ready to try to make right of what happened last week and to show the nation that, hey, we can still compete no matter what with who, when, where, or how. It doesn't matter. And so I think that last statement that he said, a ticked off LSU coming into Nashville, is not going to be a good thing for Vanderbilt. But the other thing, too, though, is if we can actually play, lights out with a lot of aggression, with a lot of speed, a lot of quickness, but also be very, very intelligent in how we play the game, meaning no turnovers, and then cause turnovers as well on the defensive side. And then, play in the backfield, if our defense can play in Vanderbilt's backfield, and then if we can control the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively, we'll be okay. I really think that Miles Brennan can actually play very well against his Vanderbilt defense, even though they return a lot of starters. But he's got Miles has a lot of playmakers on his side of the ball that can actually, play with or outplay some of those guys on Vanderbilt's team.
I don't know about you, but I'm really, really intrigued by the upside of Eric Gilbert. I think he's going to be a fine tight end down there.
Man, we were talking about it the other day, and this guy, he dropped that first pass, I think it was, across the middle. He was just anxious, I think. He just was running before he caught the ball. But after that, man, he just looks like the guy that you got to try to get the ball to him four or five times a quarter, He has to touch the ball at least 12 to 15 times a game. And that, it doesn't look like there's a safety and or outside linebacker or even an inside linebacker that can run with this guy. I haven't seen anyone yet. And we've only seen one game. So he's going to get better. He's got 3 years to play to get better, and I think he's going to do it, and I think we'll see it. He's definitely going to be one of the top players in the country here this year and years to come.
Yeah, he's got all the intangibles. Doesn't block particularly the way you want him to, but in terms of what you want, if you could draw up what a tight end should look like, Herb, it would be Eric Gilbert. I mean, he's got the perfect length and size.
He looked really close to him. I'm gonna tell you that. I always got to revert back to my guys, Nicky Savoy and David LaFleur. Those guys had the exact same look, build, style, that kind of stuff. The difference was that they actually did block very well. Now this is something that Eric will definitely learn as he's there, because you know when you go to the next level is not the same offense that LSU plays. So as a tight end, you're gonna have to block. You're gonna have to down block. You're gonna have to seal off some corners and some edges to get some guys around you, whatever it is. So he's going to learn that. I think he's definitely capable of learning that.
For the latest on the president, Donald Trump, his diagnosis with COVID-19, log on to WWL.com. We got the story for you. The headline, Trump doing very well at Walter Reed Medical Center. He's Herb. I'm Christian. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. LSU and Vanderbilt today at 6:30. Right here on WWL. Hang out with us on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show till 4:30. We'll hand it off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for the official pregame show on the LSU Sports Radio Network. And, Herb, tell me if you agree with this or not. I think that 5 weeks from now, we're going to look at their week one showing, and it's not even going to look anywhere close. In other words, I think that this team's going to make market improvements pretty quickly. And they're just young, and when we look back on it in 5 weeks, we're going to go, yeah, now I understand it, because they were so young, it was really all new to them.
No, I agree 1,000% with you. I mean, it's I think it's pretty evident. I don't see how you can get much worse defensively than what we played, but at the end of the day, we still had an opportunity to win that game, which is crazy. And so you're right. It's the youth of the players that are playing right now, you know, you give them four good games under their belt, like you said, and you go into week six, and it's you should definitely see some growth and some maturity from those guys. They're still going to make mistakes, you know, because it's all new scheme, new, it's just new. Everything is new, and then you start getting really into those heavy hitters in the schedule. So it's still going to be tough, but at the end of the day, I don't think you're going to see the type of play. I think you'll see what, like Coach O always says, LSU Tiger football. That we know to come in and expect with those guys flying around the field. And look, I'm going to say this too. What I see as far as the youthness is just simply on defense. On offense, I think, you let's say you cut, instead of giving up 600 yards, and you give up 300 yards, and then you give up two less touchdowns, right? Then we win that game. You know what I'm saying? So I think offensively we can, even collectively with the three backs, I think we had 117 yards rushing. I think that we should all expect for them guys to probably collectively to have maybe close to 150, 175 rushing. And that would definitely take off some of the pressure from Miles. But I think that, I think that as a whole last week, other than the interceptions, the turnovers, and then also the offensive line not allowing, let me say it like this, not allowing a clean pocket for Brennan all the time, I think, and they're not opening the holes as much as we think they should. I think moving forward, those guys will be better. So, and I can definitely see that as long as our defense can come up and meet us halfway, I think we'll be fine. We'll be able to compete for sure.
Herb, if you're worried about the confidence of the LSU Tigers, don't be. Everything I'm hearing out of Baton Rouge is, the intensity and the focus was at pretty high levels, and their confidence is pretty high despite that loss to Mississippi State. This is the good thing about being young, having a young team is, you can have a short memory. You can get over things a little quicker. And I also think that, in a strange way, a road game early in the season like this can kind of bring them together a little bit and cause them to focus a little bit more. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. You never know what could trigger that the unity and how they can come together and gel as a team, And maybe this is it. Maybe they needed to get punched in the mouth last week. Maybe they needed, maybe they were riding a high from last year, winning the championship. They're thinking that, beating their chest, or we're this, we're going to walk in and Mississippi State can't do whatever, blah, 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 blah. And that goes to show you, it doesn't matter who you play. It's all about how you play. If you can play up to your capabilities and the way that you've been practicing and taught how to play, then, you should be successful. But and you're right. I don't think that there's any lack of confidence from this team, starting with the head coach. I can tell you that right now. So it's just going to be a matter of how can we minimize the mistakes? How can we capitalize on all of the opportunities that we get? And then we need to stop the offense. We need to stop Vanderbilt from scoring or anybody else from scoring as much as we need to score. So we've got to put the ball in the end zone, and we cannot turn the ball over.
All right, we're done with our first hour here of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Stick around. Jimmy Smith of TigerDetails.com will join us next hour. He's Herb. I'm Christian. This is WWL.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.